We're looking at Pachad Yitzchak for Shabbos, Maimar Yud Gimel. We know that there are three tefillos on Shabbos, and they seem to be in ascending order, reaching the apex at Mincha time, the last of the three tefillos, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad U'Miki Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz, whereas the first tefilla focuses on Maisa Bracious, the creation of the world, the second on the giving of the Torah Ma'amid Har Sinai. The third focuses on the end of days, the Achris Hayomim. It's the Shabbos of Mein Olam Haba, Ata Echad, V'Shimcha Echad. Now, if you take a look in Or Chaim, in Hilchos Shabbos, you'll find something very interesting with regard to the three su'udos that correspond to these three periods of time of Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. In the Simon Reish Sadi Aleph, there's a group of poskim that maintain that whereas the first two of the three sudos of Shabbos, namely the suda at night and the suda during the day, require pas. However, the third suda does not require pas. You could be yotze without washing and eating bread. Now, if you take a look in the sugya itself, in Masechet Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin, we derive the three sudos from the word Hayom that repeats itself three times in the Parash of Man in Parashas Bishalach. And the question is, since all three sudos are derived equally from Hayom, why is it that the third su'uda that we eat in the Mincha after Chatzos Hayom does not require pas according to this school of thought? That's a very odd kind of approach, that we should be makil on with regard to one of the three sudos when all three in a uniform way are derived from the pasuk hayom. Each one has a hayom to it. And the question is even more intriguing when you think about the kula according to the shitin poskim of the third suda. That makes our problem even worse, because if we set up a parallel, a corresponding relationship between the three tefillos and its three time periods, and on the other end, the three sudos, then we would expect, we would anticipate that dafka, the third of the three sudos, should be on the highest level. The first of the three tefillos at night, which is Ata Kidashta, has as its theme Maisa Bracious. The second, moving up to the daytime, Shachris, is Yismach Moshe, B'matnas Chelko is Matan Torah. And the third, which is Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad, is the theme of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. That is, in terms of a ladder, the highest level that we reach on the ladder, Tfilas Mincha. And yet, oddly enough, that Suda which corresponds to Tfilas Mincha, and the poskim say you're not allowed to eat that suda and biyotze, the third suda, before Mincha. That's always a problem on Erev Shabbos, Shechalios B'Shabbos, in the case of Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. But in any event, in order to biyotze that third suda, you have to eat it Mincha time, because it corresponds to Tfilas Mincha. And if that be the case, if suda shlishis corresponds to suda to Tfilas Mincha, why on the hierarchy of sudos should that be the most lenient of all sudos? It should be on the highest level of the suda. If you have to differentiate, you should dafka put suda shlishis as the most strict suda of them all, because it corresponds to that part of the day, meaning mincha, which is the pisgah, which is the apex of all atfilas, the highest madriga as we climb the ladder and we reach the yom shekulo Shabbos. So that's the first question that we want to ask. But let's move on, and we'll hopefully come back to this question towards the end of our discussion today. And that is, we want to analyze the Kiddush itself, especially the Kiddush of Shachris. And here again we find something very odd. With regard to Kiddush at night, of course, we have a long Nusach. And that Nusach, that Matbeashal Kiddush, has many themes to it. It's multifaceted. And yet, when we get to Kiddush of Shachris, we find that we get to the barest minimum, bare bones. The Matbea of Shachris does not in any way reflect anything about the substance of Shabbos, but rather Kiddush of Shabbos is just a Matbea of a Birchas HaNenim. It's basically a bracha that we would recite al Yayin during the course of the week. It's not in any way Miyucha designated in any special way for Shabbos. The Kiddush doesn't reflect in its Matbea any mention, any zecher to Shabbos itself. And that's very odd. What's going on with regard to Kiddush al Shachris? And he gives a mashal here of a tree that has branches, and you look at the branches and you get an idea of what the root of the tree is all about. But here, in the case of Shachris, we wonder how the Kiddush of Shachris gives us any clue, any indication about the root, which is Shabbos. It's simply a Bori Pri HaGofen, a Matbea of a Birchas HaNenim, without any Zecher, as we said, to the substance and the character of the day. Very strange. That's not something that we find with regard to any other Kiddush on Shabbos and Yontif, Shabbos meaning Friday night, and we want to know what's going on. Let's move on to the third question. This is based on the Tshuvas HaRashba, the fifth Chelek, and it's a very deep concept. The Rashba wonders about the Nusach HaBracha in general, and applying it to Kiddush as well. We open up with what's called Guf Sheni, which means when I'm facing you, and I say Atah, you, that's called Guf Sheni, and every bracha begins Baruch Atah, as if we're in the presence of Hashem, you, God. And yet, we move on to Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosav Itzivanu, in a classical Birchas HaMitzvah. Asher Kidshanu is in Guf Shlishi, we talk about He, with a capital H, who has sanctified us. So we shift from Guf Sheni to Guf Shlishi, from you to Him, in the same breath, in the same Nusach. And the Rashba is Mechadesh, a big Chiddush. And he says that when we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, God is revealed. We look at all the actions, all the creations, everything that goes on in the world, every physical entity that exists, and we see Hashem. In other words, God is revealed to us through His pu'ulot, through His actions. But on the other hand, when we talk about God mitzad atzmo, God unto Himself, when we think about God, not in relationship to the creation, then God is nistar. He's completely hidden. And the bracha, in the case of a Birchas HaMitzvah, and you can go on and apply it elsewhere as well, is a harkava. It's a hybrid integrating these two elements of Guf Sheni and Guf Shlishi, of Nigla and Nista together. However, we don't expect that such a differentiation, such a bifurcation between Guf Sheni and Guf Shlishi, between Nigla and Nista, should appear in the single bracha twice. It should repeat itself. I mean, once you've already made that point of Nigla and Nistar, you wonder if there's any need to repeat it. And yet, when we take a look at Kiddush, we're going to find a repetition here within the bracha itself. You know, the Rashba is focused on the introduction, the Nusach, the formulation, the introduction to a bracha. But here in Kiddush, which is a much longer bracha, obviously, it's more complex, we find again, not just in the introduction, but in a sense a kfeilut, a repetition of this kind of bifurcation between Guf Sheni and Guf Shlishi. And at the beginning of Kiddush, which we saw again on Friday night, we speak about Shabbos Kodesho bi'ava uveratzon hinchaltanu, or hinchilanu. And here we say Kodesho, the word kodsho here, at this part of the Kiddush, is in Guf Shlishi, which, as we said before, in the Rashba's frame of reference, is Nistar. And then we go on at the end of this Matbea, and we say Shabbos Kodshecha, which is Ata in Guf Sheni, is Nigla. V'Shabbos Kodshecha V'Ava Uveratzon Hinchaltanu. So in addition to the opening part of Kiddush, which is Baruch Atah in Guf Sheni, and then Asher Kidshanu, we go on once again to differentiate between Kodsho, as we said, is Guf Shlishi, V'Shabbos Kodsho B'Ava Uveratzon Hinchilanu, and then at the end of the Matbeah, the Baruch of V'Shabbos Kodshecha, Kodshecha in Guf Sheni, B'Ava Uveratzon Hinchaltanu, starting with Guf Shlishi, which is Nistar, and continuing to Guf Sheni, which is Nigla. So why is it necessary to sort of like re-emphasize these two dimensions of the bracha and contrast Guf Shlishi with Guf Sheni, that means Nistar with Nigla? Why is that necessary a second time around? So far we have three questions. Number one, the kula of Suda Shlishis, that you don't require pas according to those poskim, which is very odd since the third Suda corresponds to Tefilas Mincha, which is the apex of all three Tefilos. The second question was, what is the nature and the substance of Kiddush Shel Shachris on Shabbos, which has no matbea that refers or reflects anything about the character of Shabbos? It's just the pure Birchas Hanenim. And the third question about this differentiation, once again, within the heart or the kishkis of Kiddush at Friday night, between Kodsho and Kodshecha, between Guf Shlishi and Guf Sheni. Now we move on to another point, and this is also quite profound. If you take a look at the psukim in Shmos Chaf Hei, especially Pasuk Tes Zayin, you will see that with regard to Torah mitzvahs, the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs, and Rashi points this out there in Pasuk Tes Zayin. You can take a look also in the Gurari, the Maral there. Kol haTorah kula eidusi kruya. The Torah considers all of the mitzvahs together as one body, as one corpus, one entity, as eidus. It's a testimony. And in addition to calling Torah as a general entity eidus, we also have a Shem Eidus in particular with regard to the Luchos HaBris. The Luchos HaBris in Shmos Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches are called Luchos HaEidus. So the concept of Eidus on the one hand applies to mitzvos in general, that the entire Torah and its fulfillment is Eidus. And number two, in a more specific way, with regard to the Shtei Luchos HaBris, we call them Luchos HaEidus in the Torah, which means that there's a specific edus with regard to the luchos and the content of the Aseres HaDibros. So we have here the klolius and the protius. We have the shem edus with regard to kol haTorah kula beklolius, and we have the shem edus with regard to the luchos habris beprotius. And we'd like to understand what is this all about, meaning edus itself is what he calls Gilgulim Darko Misgalgal Misgalgulim Maoros Yimei Olam Yibos Olam Arachris Hayom. Eidus, in some sense, ties together past, present, and future. It's a testimony that the prophets are revealed to us about the nature of Torah throughout the generations, and combining and finding what he calls a Gilgul HaMoros. I guess Gilgul HaMoros might be translated as the historical flow of cause and effect throughout history, something that connects past, present, and future. In fact, if you look in Yeshayahu HaNavi, he says, Atem Edai Vani Kel, you are my witnesses and I am the mighty God. And the Alkut says on this pasuk in Yeshayah, interpreting this pasuk, "Atem Eidai Vanikel, Emos Ayanikel, Bisman Sha'atem Eidai," that we, in a sense, through our fulfillment of the Torah, throughout the generations, we kaviyochol make Hashem into Kel. We make Him into the mighty, powerful God, the divine, sovereign ruler over the universe. It means that the power of Eidus and the sanctity of this Mahalach, of this Eidus, is so powerful, it has such a great impact, that ani kel, it makes Hashem kaviyochel into kel. That is the entity of Eidus in the world. And what we'd like to understand is, what is the nature of that Eidus? And at this point in the Maamar, we come to I guess you'd call it a Parshas Drachim, a very critical fork in the road. And this is based on the laws of Eidus, to try to analyze and break down Eidus into two component parts. Meaning, again, what we're going to try to do is this Mahalach of Kedusha, of sanctifying Hashem and making Him into Kel, which is reflected by the character of Eidus in our context, and the Divrei Torah. We would like to understand what Eidus is all about. And for this, we want to refer to a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Now, I would like to show you a line here, which is in a footnote in the Maamar here. It's based on a sugya in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. And the Maamar and this footnote says, "Kemoshe nimsar lanu al divrei Torah bechlal ki kol dvarecha echad heim el she'en anu yodim l'darsham." And apparently, what the Gemara Megillah means when it says that kol divrei Torah bechlal, or kol dvarecha bechlal, is echad heim, it seems to indicate this concept of the Eidus that's considered a klal. Al divrei Torah b'chlal is considered kol dvarecha echad heim. In a sense, the unifying factor that brings together all of the Torah is this concept of the klolius of Eidus, the metzius of Eidus through the Torah itself. In any event, getting back to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where we have the parasha called Shavuos Eidus, in the fifth chapter of Sefer Vayikra, there the Torah says, Vehu Eid, and it says, O Ra'a, O Yada. And again, the words Vehu Eid, Chazal interpret to mean two Eidim, because we always require a minimum of two Eidim. And what makes an Eid into an Eid, or in this case, a pair of Eidim into a pair of Eidim, is O Ra'a, O Yada. The Torah offers two possibilities, breaking down Eidus into two component parts. One is Re'iyah, which is called Eidus Re'iyah, which obviously means that the sense of sight, you actually saw something, you witnessed it in the classical sense. And then there's something called Yediyas Eidus. Without Re'iyah, you have Yediyah, you have knowledge without actual sight, or without being a spectator or a witness. And Chazal interpret this in the Gemara in Shavuos. This is Sugya on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, if you're interested. The Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, Yada? What's Yediyah? What's Eidus Shel Yediyah without Re'iyah? And the Gemara says, if the witnesses actually saw the giving of the money from Reuven to Shimon, Reuven extends a loan to Shimon, and Shimon therefore is obligated, they witnessed, they observed that giving of the money, that's called Eidus Re'iyah. They saw it, they saw the goof of the uvda, the actual occurrence, the incident, with their own two eyes. However, there is something called Eidus Yediyah, where although the eyes didn't see anything, but the mind is able to derive a conclusion. And that's the case of Hoda Bifaneinu. Whereas Shimon, we didn't see Shimon borrow the money from Reuven, but we did listen and hear Shimon confess and admit in our presence that he took the funds, that he owes the money. That confession is Yediyah, because we logically know that if he confessed he owes the money, without Re'iyah, without actually seeing the Matan Mos, the giving of the money. And here we want to quote the Rambam in the 8th parak of Yesodei HaTorah with regard to our belief, the belief of Klal Yisrael in Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu lo haminu bo Yisrael mifnei ha'osos va'mofsim. Our belief in Moshe Rabbeinu is not a belief of Re'iyah. It's not because Moshe Rabbeinu engendered all these miracles, the osos and mofsim. Ram continues, and he says, "Kmo shenemar, hine anochi boy lecha biav ha'onon, bavur yishma ha'om bedabri imach, v'gam becha yaminu liolam." So the Rama points out that although the pasuk says einenu ro velo zar, which was of course would correspond to edus ri'iya, and this is based on a pasuk in Shmos Yutes, pasuk Tes, nevertheless, the Torah adds an important phrase over here, and that is bavur yishma ha'om bedabri imach v'gam becha yaminu liolam. And we know that hinei anochi ba'elecha bi'av ha'anon, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Moshe Rabbeinu up to the mountain and he gave him the Torah there. We also know at the time of Maimon Har Sinai that the people of Israel were able to listen to the first two Dibros, but the rest of the Dibros, the balance, were transmitted by Moshe Rabbeinu directly to Klal Yisrael. So it was Hashem who received the Dibros from Moshe Rabbeinu. So it comes out the following, that on the one hand, einenu ro velo zar, which is edus re'iya, but on the other hand, the balance of the Torah was given and was received from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we call Shamanu Mipi Eid Neman, that we heard it from a reliable source. Moshe Rabbeinu is a reliable source, and that's what it says, Gam Becha Yaminu Biolam. As the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu Haminu Bo, they believed in him. So our belief in Moshe Rabbeinu makes the Torah, and our Eidus in regard to the Torah, Eidus Yediya Below Re'iya. So einenu ro velo zar, whatever we saw, whatever we witnessed, whatever we heard directly, that's called edus re'iya. But the balance of the Torah, the transmission of the main bulk of the Torah from Moshe to Klal Yisrael, that's called edus yediya. And therefore we have something which indicates what we said before, that with regard to the Klolius HaTorah, the Shem Torah is the Shem edus. And that's a kiyum of the pasuk O Yada, which is a fundamental halach in Hilchas Eidus. However, Bipratius, with regard to a very specific name of Eidus, and that's with regard to the first two Dibros of the giving of the Luchos, which we heard directly and we saw, that is a kiyum of Ora of Re'iyah in Hilchas Eidus. So as we said before, we have now the combination of Re'iyas Eidus and Yediyas Eidus. And now, my friends, we're ready to swing back to Shabbos, which is obviously the topic, the theme of our discussion today. We said that there's a Shem Eidus with regard to Torah mitzvahs in general, but if we could isolate one particular mitzvah of all the Taryag, you know, it's put 612 on one side of the weight, the weights, and one on the other side, and single out one particular mitzvah, which in and of itself has a Torah's Eidus inherent in that mitzvah, that would be Shabbos. Shabbos is considered Sadusa. Shabbos in the language of Chazal is Eidus. Through our experience of Shabbos, we testify. And we're going to see how exactly that happens. We testify about the giving of the Torah because we heard the two Dibros, and that's the Eidus of Luchas Abris, and we testify about the giving of the Torah because we received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Yediya because he's an Eid Neman. How do we know about Shabbos? That's what we want to answer. But first we want to prove that Shabbos itself is Eidus, Sadusa. And we could derive this from two halachas which are very similar. Number one, if you look in our Chaim Siman, Reish Samaches, and the Shabbos says, Ein Omer Vayichulu Ela Mu'umad, that when we recite Vayichulu in Kiddush, we have to stand. And that's a requirement in Eidus, because two Eidim, when they stand in front of Bezdin to deliver their testimony, they have to stand. And in the same Sif in Shulchan Aruch, it says, Ein Omer Vayichulu El Bishnayim, one should join together with someone else in reciting Vayichulu because of the Paskal Pishnei Edim Yakum Dover, we need a minimum of two witnesses. So it means that our act of Kiddush is an act of Edus. There's a Torah's Edus in the act of Kiddush of Shabbos. And it means that we should not recite Kiddush without the Kiddush being a reality of Edus, an experience of Edus, of testimony. Now, if we're saying that the concept of Edus applies to Shabbos, and Shabbos and Kiddush HaShabbos is an act of Edus, it requires Amida, requires Shnayim, then we must be assuming, as the Pachad Yitzchok presents it, that the Edus with regard to Shabbos in Kiddush has to have a double, a twofold aspect to it, or a two-dimensional Edus. Because every Edus, as we said before, has two dimensions to it. It falls under two different characters, or two different categories, namely Yedia, or shall we say Re'iyah, and then Yedia. Now, where do we find, how can we establish that within the mitzvah of Shabbos and the Kiddush of Shabbos, that we have these two dimensions of Edus, namely of both Re'iyah and Yediyah? Where do we see that, if that's the essence of what Edus is? It's this twofold, two-dimensional entity called testimony. Then where is, within the context of the Edus of Shabbos, where is this twofold dimension? And the Pachad Yitzchok becomes very dramatic here, and he says that the answer to this question depends really on the very yisod of Shabbos. And every zil kori beirav, every child will know that there's an explicit parsha in the Torah, in Chumash itself, where we find that the Jewish people can testify about Shabbos. And that's the parsha of Man. Because in the parsha of Man, the Torah says, and this you'll find in Shmos Tezayin Pasuk Chav Tes, Re'u ki Hashem nosan lechem es haShabbos. Again, emphasize the word Re'u. Ki al kenu nosin lechem yom hashishi lechem yomayim. In other words, Friday, as a preparation for Shabbos, we receive a double portion of man. And the reason for that is because the man will not fall on Shabbos, and there's no possibility of collecting man on Shabbos. And this definitely is very unique to Shabbos. We don't find, for example, in any other mitzvah, Re'u Hashem Nosan Lechem Es Mitzvah Tzitzis. There's only Re'u Ki Hashem Nosan Lechem Es HaShabbos. And the answer is, Re'u means that you can testify that God gave you the Shabbos. And that testimony is based on Re'iyah. Kedusha Shabbos is essentially predicated on Edus. And which Edus? Edus Re'iyah, in the first case. We'll get to Yediyah in just a second. And that is because there's no Shabbos without Re'u Ki Hashem Nosan Lechem. It's a Shabbos when we collect the man. And we're talking about Shishim Ribu Yotzim Mitzrayim, 3 billion Jews that exited from Mitzrayim, and they stood at Har Sinai. They experienced Re'u, seeing the Shabbos. And how is that so? So the answer is because of this episode of Re'iyah, in which they received a Lecha Mishnah of a double portion of man on Erev Shabbos. But that's not enough, because within the context of man, there was no leaving over man. There's no such thing as shirayim. You know, we have leftovers when we eat a meal. But with regard to man, if you were to leave over extra man from one day to the next, then you would find on the next day, biush. Biush means that the man would completely disintegrate. It would spoil and disintegrate. So therefore, based on the rules that govern man, true that you have an extra portion on Friday going into Shabbos on Saturday, but a Saturday morning, you would definitely find biush, you would find that the extra portion is completely gone. So if you ate the first portion of Friday night, thinking that, well, it's okay, I have the second portion for Shabbos in the morning, I can't go out and collect mine on Shabbos in the morning, but I have my second portion, then we anticipate, based on the rules that apply, because Hashem wants us on a daily basis to collect man, that on Shabbos morning we would find the biush, there's no man, and yet we have minias habiush. What happens is that there's no worms crawling in and out of the there's no spoiled man here, but we wake up on the boker of Shabbos, and guess what? We find the second portion of man is in perfect condition, fresh as it can be. And that's a Gilulim Afreya that retroactively reveals and proves that the double portion of Yom HaShishi was a preparation for Shabbos. So part of this we see, that's called Eidus Re'iyah, when we see the double portion on Friday. And part of it we know and we understand logically, and that's Yediyah, because on Shabbos morning, the fact that there's no Biyush, it didn't spoil, that proves that what happened yesterday on Friday was indeed a miracle to prepare us for Shabbos. That the Shabbos being given to us, and God guarantees that we'll have a second portion on Shabbos. So we have both Eidus Re'iyah, which is seeing on Friday the Hakana for Shabbos, the double portion coming down, and we have Eidus Yediyah, which is the logical conclusion where we put one and one together, and we conclude that now that we see that the second portion remained fresh and edible on Shabbos morning, it did not spoil, therefore it must be that what happened yesterday was indeed a Shabbos experience. So we have a double Eidus in Shabbos. And this obviously should reflect itself in Kiddush, because again, the Maisa Kiddush is, as we said before, Maisa Eidus. Shabbos itself is testimony. Now that we see that Shabbos is testimony in the Jewish experience of the Yotzei Mitzrayim in a twofold way, we're going to try to see if we can take Kiddush and divide it into two dimensions of Eidus. But first, let's speak about Oneg Shabbos and Te'ima Shabbos and see if we can really experience an Oneg and a Te'ima. What we're going to look at first is the Tefillah of Shabbos. And in the Tefillah, the Nusach, the Matbeah of Tefillah of Shabbos, of Shacharis, let's start with Shacharis, we have the Maila, the special, unique status of the sanctity of Shabbos, and we go out of our way to emphasize in the Nusach HaTefillah that this Maila of Shabbos is engraved in the Luchos, included in the Luchos HaBris. And here's the Nusach that we recite in Tefillah Shacharis. We say, V'kasuv Bohem, after we describe Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Luchos, that's again Tefillah Shacharis of Shabbos, V'kasuv Bohem, and in the Luchos are inscribed Shmira Shabbos, V'chein Kasuv B'sorasecha. In other words, we're emphasizing two things here. Number one, that Shabbos is included in the Torah, and number two, that Shabbos is included in the Luchos. And why do we need to emphasize both milas of Shabbos, you know, describing the unique, the special status of Shabbos, that it's not only included, incorporated in the corpus of Torah in general, many parshas in the Torah, but also that it is included in the Luchos as well? And the answer is exactly what we said, that in the Shem Eidus we had in Torah in general a Shem Eidus, which is called an Eidus of Yediyah, again because the balance of the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Yediyah. We rely on Moshe Rabbeinu, we have every reason to do so. He's an Eid Neman. So in terms of the Eidus of Torah in general, of Klolius HaTorah, we have what we call Eidus Yediyah. And then with regard to Luchos HaBris, we saw something. We saw the Luchos HaBris and the miracles therein. And we heard at least two out of the ten of the Dibros. That's already Eidus Re'iyah. Yeah, there's something concrete over here that's going on in the Luchos HaBris. Luchos Eidus. And so too in Shabbos, as an act of Eidus, we testify to the Shabbos in a two-dimensional way. Number one, we have Re'iyah. We saw with our own eyes the double portion of man coming down from Shamayim on Friday to prepare for Shabbos. And we have the Eidus of Yediyah, because in the morning there was no biush, as we discussed before. So in a sense, Shabbos weighs in like the entire Torah. Shabbos in and of itself has two dargas, two unique madregas to it. Number one, has the madreg of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is the madreg of Eidus Yediyah, but also it has the darg of Lukos, which is Eidus Re'iyah. So within Shabbos, we have the power of Kol HaTorah, and we have the unique power of the Shtei Lukos. Both dimensions of Eidus reflect themselves in Shabbos, and therefore in the Matbea of Tefillah Shachris, when we describe and we praise the Shabbos as a unique entity, we point out not only that Shabbos is given Kosuv B'Sorasecha in general, but also Bahem, meaning on the Luchos, Kosuv Shmira Shabbos, that Shabbos is itself on the Luchos. Again, parallelly corresponding to these two dimensions of the Eidus Yediyah of Klolius HaTorah and the Eidus Re'iyah of the Shtei Luchos, both coincide in the experience of Shabbos. Shabbos, we can testify in both categories of Vahura, Oyada, Re'iyah, and Yediyah. And perhaps this can really open up a very deep and profound understanding of the two parts to the sanctity of Shabbos. We have the sanctity of Shabbos at night and the sanctity of Shabbos by day. And we've discussed this on many occasions. And if you take a look in Pesachim Kuf Hey, and you'll see it in the Poskim in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, we have a principle called Kvod Hayom, the Kvod Alayl, Kvod Hayom Adif. That although these two dimensions of Shabbos form one entity, the night and the day, yet the sanctity and the chiyuv, the obligation of Kvod Hayom during the day, is greater, it supersedes that of night. And of course the rational mind wants to understand in what sense is the day greater than night. And we've discussed this in the past, but here we want to give a particular approach. And that is that Shabbos has a Torah's Eidus to it. It's an act and an experience of testimony. And the testimony of Shabbos breaks down into two parts. It's a chronological sequence in which we begin with the Eidus experience at night and we continue to the Eidus experience during the day. And that's why we divide up the Kvod Shabbos into two different names, the Kvod Laila and the Kvod Yom. Laila, in terms of its relationship to Kedusha Shabbos, represents the Eidus of Yediyah, because again we only know Lamafreya that the double portion of Friday, that fell on Friday, would actually be meaningful on Shabbos day. So it's only after Shabbos day that we engender the Yediyah of Shabbos at night. The two portions that we take into Shabbos at night will in fact guarantee us both Su'udos, the Su'ud of the Laila, and the Su'ud of the day. And then when we get to the day, then we have what's called a lemafreya. We have an Eidus that's going to impact on what happened at night. This is du partzuf, and he calls it the two faces of Eidus, specifically with regard to Shabbos, the parts of the face of Re'iyah and the face of Yediyah. And therefore, within Shabbos, with regard to these two faces and the experience of man, you could derive the following. The pasuk says, "Boker uri'isem erev v'yedatem." That's a pasuk in Shmos Tet Zayin, pasuk Zayin. Again, let's read it again. "Boker uri'isem erev v'yedatem." Meaning at night, we don't have really a re'iyah yet. We have the second portion, but we don't know whether that's indeed, you know, miyuchad, it's designated for Shabbos, and we'll be able to enjoy it on Shabbos. So that re'iyah, that clarity, if you will, kam boker, boker re'isem. And what do you see in the day? You see in the day that, lo and behold, the portion of man that you're holding in your hand that came down yesterday is still fine and fresh. That is a re'iyah of clarity that indicates that there is such a thing as Shabbos, because that didn't fall on Shabbos. And now, that Boker Isem engenders an error via datum. It generates the idea as far as yesterday, because retroactively we now understand that yesterday, Friday night, that was L'chvod Shabbos. And that's the K'vod Hayom of Adif, because Eidus Yediyah is a pre, it's a first step, and Eidus, and the clincher, the ultimate is Eidus, I'm saying Eidus Yediyah is the first step, but Eidus Re'iyah is the clincher. That's the absolute clarity of Eidus. And that clarity comes on Shabbos day, Boker, or Isem, and that Re'iyah is superior to, precedes Yediyah. And that's the shoresh of Kvod Hayom Adif. Kvod Alayla is inferior, it's secondary to Kvod Hayom, because Kvod Alayla is only Eidus Yediyah, whereas Kvod Hayom is Eidus Re'iyah, Afla V'Fela. And here we want to continue our line here, by studying a Ran, which is in the end of Psachim, in Arvei Psachim, on the Rif, in the Sugya and Daf Kuvav, and that is with regard to the difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush during the day. The Ran says that Kiddush by day is only a Takonas Chachamim, whereas the source for Kiddush at night, Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshos Apostol Chutz Doraisa, the Kiddush by day is only Derabbanan, and the Ran asks the question, why did the Rabbanan insist on adding a Kiddush? In other words, on a Torah level, the Kiddush entering into Shabbos is Chal, as a kiyum for the entire Shabbos, the 24 hours of Shabbos as one entity. Why then did the Chacham feel compelled to add a kiyum of Kiddush by day? And the answer is, says the Ran, because of this principle that we saw from the Gemara of Kvod Hayom Adif, the Gemara in Psachim, three blot earlier. And that is that in order to establish a kiyum of Kvod Hayom Adif, we had to add a Kiddush, which is Dirabana. But what we learn from this Ran is that the obligation of Kiddush is Doraisa, and that includes both night and day as one equal entity. The Chachamim added a specific kiyum of Kiddush by day because the Adif was the special superior status of Kvod Hayom. And perhaps we can understand this Chiddush of the Ran in terms of the Matbea of Kiddush. We mentioned at the outset of this discussion that there is a repetition, again within the context of the Tshuvas HaRashba that we discussed at great length, of this structure of Nigla and Nista. We see this repeated in the Kiddush of Shabbos. And at the beginning of the Kiddush of Shabbos, in the Matbea, the Nusach of Kiddush, we find V'Shabbos Kodsho Hinchilonu, which is in Guf Shlishi in Nistar, but at the Siyum, at the end of this Nusach of this Matbea, we have V'Shabbos Kodshecha Hinchaltonu, which Kodshecha is in Guf Sheni, which is Nigla. And the answer is perhaps that this Kiddush is Doraisa, and it encompasses both night and day as one continuous, uniform, equal entity. And therefore we expect this kphelus. We have to have a style, in a sense, or an expression which reflects Re'iyah. Re'iyah, again, is the highest level of Eidus, the clarity of Re'iyah, of seeing something with your eyes. That's called Guf Sheni. And that's what we say, Kodshecha, and we turn to Hashem, and we say, you. Whereas, when we get to the signal and the style of Yediyah, which is a secondary kind of testimony, that's written in Guf Shlishi, that's already God Benistar. And then it's not Kodsho, but rather it's Kodshecha, it's not Kodshecha, excuse me, but rather it's Kodsho in Chaltonu, or in Chilonu. So in other words, we want to emphasize, specifically in Shabbos, above and beyond all other mitzvot HaTorah, this double kind of testimony, the testimony of Guf Sheni, which is Re'iyah, and the testimony of Guf Shlishi, which is Yediyah. And therefore we utilize both Matbeos, both Nuschos, of Kodsho and Kodshecha. And both, beautifully, express the two dimensions of Eidus, which are inherently fundamentally different in their very nature, their very character, and we express the fact that on Shabbos, as an act of testimony, we implement both. We experience both the Eidus of Yediyo, which is Guf Shlishi, as we say at the beginning of Kiddush, of Kodsho, and the Eidus of Re'iya, having seen during the day the second portion survive. That's called Eidus Re'iya. That's the highest level of Eidus. That's the Eidus of Shabbos by Boker, and that's included in the Kiddush at night in the Guf Sheni of Shabbos Kodshecha Hinchaltanu. So we have Kodsho and Kodshecha. We have Guf Shlishi, which reflects Shabbos at night, which is Yediya, and then we have Guf Sheni at the end, which sequentially refers to Shabbos during the day when we achieve Eidus of Re'iya, which supersedes the Eidus at night of Yediya. And if this be the case, we can begin to understand the nature and the unique experience of Kiddush on Shabbos Shacharis during the day. And we pointed out that there are many different brachos that require a kus, that we recite over a kus, but this is the only one that we know of that has no mention or reflection in the nusach of the bracha, no zecher whatsoever to the character and the nature of the bracha. And the answer is that to this very odd, ambiguous halach of a birchas hanenim, which is Kiddush, bor pri agafa, and the answer is because the whole purpose of this Kiddush is only because the adifus of kvod hayom adif on kvod halayla. The adifus, as we said, of Re'iya in comparison to Yediyah. And both Re'iya and Yediyah are included in the Kiddush HaLayla, so we've specified in and spelled out in the Nusach HaBrach of the Kiddush at night, for both night and day, both elements of Layla and Yom, meaning of Yediyah and Re'iya, in that sequential order. And therefore the Kiddush HaYom of Shacharis doesn't need any sort of mention of both dimensions of Yediyah and Re'iyah, because we've already fulfilled that Kiddush of Shacharis within the Kiddush of Laila, because the Ran says the Kiddush of Laila, Doraisa, is Chal for both Laila and Day. We just want to experience a Kvod Hayom Adif situation. We want to emphasize and dramatize a special Kiddush befall of Shacharis of Shabbos. And we demonstrate that by drinking a cup of yayin by day. There's no need to repeat the Kiddush that was already chal in its madeh, in its full-fledged, full-blown nusach at night for both the night and the day. So that we've done already. So we don't need any tosefes. We don't need any tosefes Kiddush in the goof, in the character or the substance of the Kiddush. And therefore, fakeret, by omitting the Nusach of Kiddush, which describes the two-dimensional nature of the Eidus, by omitting that on Shacharis, we emphasize that we've already done that. You know, we our Kiddush of Laila is Chal already by the day. We want to, in a sense, emphasize that, and we wave that flag by omitting the Nusach of Kiddush. And if this be the case, what we're left with in Kiddush by day is the Shtiyas Yayin, which itself is a kiyum of Kvod Hayom Adif. That's what the Rabbanan were misaken. He says the following, that the poskim established that if somebody did not not implement his mitzvah of Kiddush at night, he fell asleep, whatever it was, then during the day, he would have to recite the full Nusach of Kiddush, the Kiddush at night. The reason for that is, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush by day, because the Kiddush by day is fulfilled at night, and he wasn't Mekaddish at night. And therefore, he'll be Mekaddish the entire Kiddush by day, and that again is support for the Ran, that the Kiddush Doraisa has been fulfilled at night for the day as well. If you didn't fulfill it at night, then you'll fulfill it during the day. And this you'll find in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. But now we want to fast forward to Reish Ayin Dalid, and there we'll see something fascinating about Suda Shlishis. We said before at the outset that according to a group of poskim, you could be Yotze Suda Shlishis without pas. And there's no chiyuv pas. And this we were wondering because in the entire system, the matrix of Seudos, we would expect that Dafka Suda Shlishis of all three would be the most strict and the apex of all the three Seudos insofar as it corresponds to the third tefillah, the tefillah's Man Mincha, which is the Pisgah, which is the apex of all three Madregas of the tefillos. As we said before, we reach the apex of our tefillos, Ata Echa V'Shimcha Echad, when we describe the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. But the answer to that question now becomes very fundamental. And that is that although there is a chiyuv pas in both the Suda at night and the Suda by day, that's because of the Dumya de Man. Man is called Lechem in the Torah, right? Lechem Shel Shamayim. And the Dumya de Man dimension of Suda Shabbos is only twofold. The magic number is two, because of the two Sudos, the Friday night Suda of Man and the Shabbos day Suda of Man. So in order to make some sort of dimayon, a comparison, a corresponding reflection of those two Seudos, the Seud of Friday night and the Seud of Shabbos, of the man that they ate at night and the man that they ate during the day, we must be kovea, because again, man is lechem, we must be kovea these two Seudos and reflect the Kedusha Shabbos of both the Seudos Laila and the Seudos day by being kovea those two Seudos on pas. With regard to the third Seuda of the day, that is not a Dumya de Man, that's not a replace for the Man, because there was no third Seuda of Man on Shabbos that we know of. It was only Lechem Mishnah, two portions of Man that fell for two Seudos. But rather, we have a derivation from the word Hayom that we should somehow experience Lichvod Hayom, something at Mincha time. But again, that doesn't require pas, because here we're not extending the dibui, this the comparison, the similarity to Man in the sense of a Suda. There were only two Sudas of Man, as we said. And we have already fulfilled that action and that requirement of dibui l'sudos with the two Sudas of Friday night and Shabbos day, both of which we would kovea ala pas. With regard to Chiluke Zman, we divide the day into Shachris and Mincha, and that expresses itself in the special tefillos that correspond respectively to those two time periods. But that's not the pilus of Man, that's not connected to Man. And therefore, there's no Chiv Se'uda at the time of Mincha, is only a separate halacha of Achila, Napator Se'uda, which is derived from the word Hayom. And in the language of the Pachad Yitzki, says with regard to the Suda of Mincha time, Ein Seudas Man HaMincha Chovas Dimui LeGufan Shel Man, the Ein Lanu Therefore Tam LeChayvo BePas Dafka. And if this be the case, we can understand the tema, the question that we asked about the Madregos and the Marechas HaTefillah with regard to their corresponding Sudos. In the Marechas of Tefillah, in the framework of Tavening Mincha, of course, is the apex. The Ata Echa V'Shimcha Echad is the highest level of Tefillah because it's Me'ein Olam Haba. However, within the Marechas of Suda, when we get to Zman Mincha, we go down a Madrega, because with regard to Suda, we could be Mekil at the Zman of Mincha, and we can exempt and alleviate ourselves from the Chiv Pas. And that's what's going on over here. And therefore, Dargas HaNemonis B'Nogel Avtochas HaOsid, with regard to Tfilos, what we're reflecting on is the level of faith and reliance that we have with regard to the ultimate promise, the divine promise of the future and the end of days. Here, of course, the Nemonus reaches its apex in terms of the promise, the divine promise for the future, for the end of days. That's the nature of Tefillas Mincha. And in a sense, when you talk about Eidus, you could talk about the Nemonus element of Eidus, and in a certain sense, when we speak about Eidus in the strict, literal sense, Eidus is always on something on the past. We're Nemonis, where you believe and you rely on something, on someone, that's towards the future. So as far as Eidus in the past is concerned, then we have the first two tefillos. But when we get to the level of, not Eidus, but the Darg of Nemonis, relying on God's promise for the future, Mufkas, Himi, Torahs, Nemonis, the Eidus, again, we're Mufka from Eidus, because we're talking about the future, and the third tefillah, therefore, could only relate to Nemonis on the future. And that is the Ata Echad Vishimcha Echad. And in a certain sense, therefore, the third Suda, which corresponds to the third tefillah, reaches the highest level. It has a special supernal light to it, the sanctity to it, because it's the ultimate level of the Romamus, if you will, of Tfilas Mincha Vizman Mincha. Again, there's no man over here, so we're not talking about man as Re'iyah and Yediyah, something that we see and we know. We're talking about believing in Hashem, and here we're talking about a different kind of concept in Shabbos, and that is not Eidus, but rather Nemonus, a Chazon Hatid, a vision for the future of Bayom Ahu, of the end of days. And therefore, he says, "Ein hazman ez echolik shem liatzol biyach ela biyachas lemidas nemonus." It's not Eidus, because there's no Eidus on the Asid, but rather it's the mid of Nemonus, in which we have faith and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future. And that adds an entirely new dimension of what he calls Romamus. And the Romamus, the highest level, the lofty level of Mincha, of Zman Mincha, is Dafka because of the Hafka of Torah Eidus. That's the paradox here. That because we are Mufka from Eidus, and that's why there's no Su'uda with a Chovas Pas, that's what really engenders that special unique status to Su'uda Shlishis, because now there's no Eidus on Pas. There's no Eidus on the Man. It's not something that we can testify about in terms of Shabbos, but rather it's the Emunas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which he promises us for the future that we will have a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, we'll experience the ultimate redemption, the Achris HaYomim, with all its glory. That's the unique nature of Zman Mincha, and that's why this Tefillah Achta Echad, Vishimcha Echad, becomes the highest point, the apex of all at tefillos of Shabbos. And in that sense, this mid of Nemonus, in which we declare complete honesty and genuine feeling with a profound sense of relying on Hashem that the future of Yom Shekul Shabbos will come about, that is the nature of the Zman Mincha. That's when we eat the third meal, but it's not a Suda in the classical sense of Pas, because again, it's not Torah's Eidus on the Man. On Adra, we rob it of Torah's Eidus of Man, and therefore the Lechem of Man, the Lechem of Suda, is removed. There's no Chovas Pas, and that paradoxically reflects on the unique, high level, special level of Suda Shlishis as a Suda of Nemanus, of relying on Hashem and the great vision of the future, relying on Hashem, the divine promise that should come about and be fulfilled, b'mheirav yomenu, the Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad. That's the third meal that we eat. We should be zochet to see speedily in our times the implementation, the realization of that divine promise of Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, kein yiratzon. Amen.